Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the second episode of The Odd Coyote. I apologize for its tardiness, but we're going to start cranking out the episodes. I got a new episode today, new episode next week, and hopefully a new one after that as well. Today is going to be Miller Godwin and Sarah Reagan. I'm super excited about both former students of mine. Super awesome to see them still writing and producing great material. Sarah has a great kind of memoir essay piece about the beginning stages of adulthood and kind of the things that you find out as you get kind of tossed into the deep end of that new part of your life. And then Miller is remixing one of William Shakespeare's sonnets, Sonnet 130. And he also wanted to make a note too that he wanted to make sure that his girlfriend Natalie, that she knew that this was not about her. So just Natalie, if you're listening, he forgot to mention it when he was over here recording, but he wanted to make it clear that is not about her. So save you that argument and fight by announcing that. So hopefully you're having a good time today. You should be listening to this episode on the 4th or around the 4th. There's a giant airplane flying overhead. I don't know if you can hear that. Showcases the proximity in which I live closest to the airport, which is great. But it's the 4th of July. Hopefully you're having fun celebrating. I'm going to be honest, it's a little bit more difficult one for me to celebrate personally with everything going on. I mean, children in cages, it's not good. It's never a good thing. But you know what? I don't think that being hypercritical of your country or your country's government is a bad thing. I don't think that makes you unpatriotic. In fact, I think it makes you a better citizen and a better friend to America. You know, it's like if you had a friend that was an alcoholic, you wouldn't just say, oh yeah, everything that you did last night was completely fine. Throwing that drink at that girl was completely acceptable. Cursing out the wait staff was completely okay. Yeah, you're fine. Keep doing that. Keep on that path of self-destruction. That's fine. No, the better friend says, no, you know, this isn't good. This isn't healthy. You need help. And so be a good friend to America. Stay and help make it a better place, but certainly don't shy away from our mistakes and be a part of the solution. I don't know why this is turning into a Captain America monologue, but here it is. But hopefully you are having a good time with family and friends today. Try to stay safe. You know, the fireworks, don't blow off any appendages or anything for that matter. Just don't blow off anything. I know it's a particularly alarming time of year for those of us with facial hair, with beards. There's lots of flying flame and sparklers and things of that nature. So be safe out there and have a good time. And once again, thank you for listening. Please continue to like, share, download, all that other good stuff that makes a podcast a happy place. And enjoy this episode. We'll have a conversation after the two pieces. There'll be a small conversation with myself and Sarah and Miller. So that's going to be different in this episode since they were able to come over and record their pieces. We'll have a small conversation at the end and you'll get to hear a little bit of kind of a writer's insight into writing comedy and what they think about when writing pieces like these. So stick around for that and both the pieces. And yeah, have a good 4th. Don't blow off anything. And maybe try to do something about the children in cages. So have a good one.
Okay. I didn't think I'd ever be doing a podcast, but life is crazy and you never know what's going to happen. I think The Odd Coyote sounded like a fun podcast though, so I'm here to talk about becoming an adult and the mistakes I've made. I got my heart broken by a guy who was 22, so only 4 years older than me. And he says what's crazy about getting older is things change around you, but you're still young inside. The way you think about things change, but essentially you're always the same human being you were when you were young. He said he's only 22, his knees already hurt, and he has no idea what he's doing yet, but he's about to get paid a lot of money to fly boxes around in airplanes. That's absolutely terrifying. I don't want to think about how you never wake up and have an epiphany moment where everything makes sense. It's insane that while we were growing up, adults basically just kind of pretended they had everything under control. When I was growing up, I went to church and I'd ask what happened when people die, and grown-ups would tell me, people go to heaven when they die, Sarah, and someday you will too. now I asked somebody who used to go to church with me if she really thinks there's a God. And she's like, most likely. That's a comforting thought to have, though. Excuse me? What? The guy who broke my heart, he really isn't grown up. 22-year-old guys, in my experience, are very immature, and I don't know when that stops. I don't know when they wake up and they're like, huh, maybe I shouldn't dedicate my entire life to something that lasts like 3 minutes, and no matter the personal cost or detriment to those around me. Those are always the types of guys who ask you if you swear you're on birth control, and you're just like, yeah, I'm not lying, because I actually don't want your gross, ugly little baby to rip me open and almost kill me. At the time, I thought I was in love, but I really, really don't want to see your smug face out of my car window every other weekend. You're barely mildly interesting. Like, you made me laugh a couple of times. Trust me, I'm not lying. It's okay, though, you guys. Someday my prince will come. Okay, so dating isn't the only hard part about growing up. It's watching dreams die and stuff like that. I saw a dude with a tattoo over his entire back the other day that just said dreams never die. Okay, a couple of things about that. First of all, it was huge and in big cursive letters. It took up a lot of backspace, and I don't know if he was compensating for being short or something. He told me that the reason he works out all the time is because he's short, but I digress. Second of all, dreams never die is just plain and simple, a factually incorrect statement. That's kind of like if I got tacos or Italian food tattooed on my ass. Dreams die, trust me. And if all of your dreams are still living, then some of them are on hospice, at least. Another part about getting older is that you only have one life, which is either motivating or depressing, depending on your circumstance. If you're in a frat and you want a shotgun a beer, then it's kind of a comfort that you only have one life. If, for example, you got framed for a crime that you never committed, and now you share a prison cell with Bubba, and every Saturday is spent picking up trash on the highway for 30 cents an hour so you can save up and buy a Babe Ruth candy bar, then maybe the idea that you have only one life is a little sad. I'm scared of being framed for a crime I didn't commit, but depressing stuff like that can happen to you at any point in time while you're getting older, and there is no way to emotionally prepare for it. It's crazy how legally many of our actions only have consequences depending solely on if the police are there or not. I could light 15 blunts on air right now because that's what free speech is all about. As long as there aren't any police around, then I'm golden. However, if there are cops, then I'm going to have to be dealing with that moment in time for years. I'm going to have to explain on first dates for years to come that, hey, just in case you go and do an online background check, yes, a cop did see me smoking weed on my former poetry teacher's podcast. Men are disgusting, though, in that area of life, and a lot of them just wouldn't care what I've done. That's what's crazy about getting older, is you have to know how to be smart about the dumb stuff you do. Different aspects of being a young adult is hard. For example, now I have to make my own doctor's appointments and pick up my own medicine. That was surprising. I have to pay money now to be slightly depressed instead of really depressed. When you go into Walgreens and you're buying yourself stuff, the cashier knows what you're there for, but they never say anything. I would hate to work at a CVS because I would be making way too many comments. A Girl Scout tried to sell me cookies once while I was having my depression medication filled out. The stuff I take, it isn't like the first thing doctors try on you. Let's just say that. It isn't Zoloft or any of that rookie stuff. I'm taking like last resort hardcore shit. I take my depression medication and my stomach hurts. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the type of chemicals that medical professionals have decided that I need. At the doctor's office, the nurse said, yeah, my friend takes that, and he's an Iraq War veteran, and he didn't really care for it because it gave him nightmares. Anyway, so that's what I'm buying at CVS when the Girl Scout is trying to sell me cookies, which is a great marketing strategy. I immediately bought 10 and went home and ate them all in my tub. What a smart future businesswoman. I'm all about girl power. Getting older is hard, but I had a lot of fun writing this for Josh's podcast. Thanks, and hopefully I talk to y'all again.
All right, this is Sonnet 130 in 2018 after William Shakespeare. My biz eyes are not like 4K. The cracks on my iPhone screen are less split than her lips. If Mona Lisa is the embodiment of beauty, then my girl is a Banksy. Her hair is like earbuds left in your pocket, tangled and impossible to unravel. The puppy dog filter can't even redeem that girl's face. The smell of a neckbeard's breath after downing a family-sized bag of Funyuns and a 2 liter of Mountain Dew Livewire still has more fragrance than her morning breath. My girlfriend likes to sing, Donald Trump likes to tweet,
it doesn't mean they should. I don't know any Khloe Kardashians. TBH, my bae is pretty basic. And yet, by God, I swear she's the cutest oomph that has ever scrolled past my timeline.
All right, hopefully you enjoyed those two pieces by Sarah Reagan and Miller Godwin. Two awesome, just generally awesome human beings. I've had the good privilege of being their teachers, and so it's really cool to see them in early stage adulthood, like early stage adulthood, like it's the levels of like a tadpole or a frog. I don't know. It's cool to see them, though, you know, still writing and, you know, going to college, doing the good things, making moms and dads proud. Okay, I'm going to stop gushing like a parent about them now. Here is the conversation with Miller and Sarah about the writing process and writing comedy.
Gosh darn it, I blocked that memory out.
So, okay. This is great. On the comedy podcast, the first thing we talk about is I just happened to have you guys on. Okay, so what is this story now? What in what grade were you guys?
Okay, okay. We were a freshman. Well,
first of all, you guys introduce yourselves. So this is Josh, of course, hosting the podcast. But and then go ahead and say your name too.
So I'm Sarah,
and I'm Miller.
Okay, cool. And they were former students of mine, but now they've shaped up to be grand adults now, doing adulting things, college and writing and stuff. But anyway, okay, so go ahead and tell this story then that you were talking about.
Okay, so it's ninth grade drama class, and we're trying to come up with this, like, skit, you know, to impress the class, and I thought it would be really good and surprising to the rest of the class if we put a kiss in there. So yeah. I hadn't kissed anyone yet. And
was this just your way of trying to get
it
your
really
first kiss?
I really don't think it was.
It was just like I thought.
I think
was
everyone
good.
Was like, that'll shock them.
Yeah. And it just like kind of worked that our characters would be good for that.
Oh,
and so we did a run through and practiced it like twice, just like in our little tiny room, just so that we wouldn't like, you know, freak out in front of like everyone after. And afterwards, Sarah yells,
I was like, oh my God, did you have Subway for lunch? That tastes like mustard. And then you were like, that was my first kiss. And everyone was like, why would you say that, Sarah? That was his first kiss.
I think the dirt's on you for
yeah,
some reason.
Yeah, it is. I still feel bad about that. It just came out of my mouth.
Oh my gosh. I completely forgot.
Yeah. So I'm sorry.
So you guys were originally drama kids?
Too? Yes.
That's so funny because, see, I was a drama kid.
Yeah.
Middle school and high school. That's funny. I feel like those things go hand in hand with writer types usually.
Yeah, all very
so,
theatrical.
Yeah, performance-based stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, with writing humor for you guys, is it a... like a first choice, a first thing that comes to mind? I mean, or is it like you have to really purposely write for humor because normally you write drama or something?
For me, it's harder to write with a lot of imagery in humor. I think it
okay.
comes a lot more naturally to write more, you know, sophisticated stuff when it comes to drama or serious poems.
Okay.
But ever since I've distanced myself from writing solely out of what's going on in my life and things like that, I've tended to write more humorous things.
More, like the more personal that it is?
Just kind of random stuff that I come up with,
okay.
you know? And I think I started it because it would set me apart from all the other poets who
yeah.
at the time in high school were just writing, you know, about different things they were dealing with in very serious ways. And I just wanted to offer a little, you know, little break of
yeah,
humor.
A little humor. Well, I definitely remember that, and it worked because it did help your poetry stand out. So I feel like it comes naturally for you, which is good. But most people complain about it being really hard to write or not natural. What about for you, Sarah?
When it comes to comedy, I think I've even noticed, like, I'll try to write serious stuff about what's going on in my life, and I'll read it back, and I'm like, okay, there are parts of this that's actually kind of funny, so I do think it is. So,
like, you're like, this was actually really hilarious.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know, I think it does sort of come naturally, plus that's just, like, if you have that type of personality where that's how you go through life, and that's how you relate to other people is through making jokes, I think that kind of comes through in your writing.
Yeah.
Right. I think comedy gets, like, a bad rap sometimes as not being, like, as sophisticated or as, like, serious of an art form or a written genre or anything like that. But I feel like it's a great, you know, like, coping mechanism or, you know, therapeutic to be able to, it feels like you take authority over the situation that was previously causing you pain, you know, or something like that. Rather laugh at it. Amanda and I always make the joke that, like, if it wasn't happening to us, like, it would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what you find out later, like, okay, this can actually be really funny.
And I even think being able to write about the bad things going on in your life in a humorous way gives you more control and a better coping than it does writing about it seriously, because there's a difference between, you know, kind of just complaining about the situation, putting it down on paper, then exploiting your situation, being able to laugh at it and present it to other people and let them laugh at it.
That's true. Then you usually find out the reason why they're laughing at it. A, it's hopefully it's funny, right? But but B, it's like they, I think they, you're right. They see that in themselves too, and it becomes relatable.
Yeah.
So that's always good. What about as far as like, so if you're dedicated to writing comedy or humor, have decided you're going to write a humorous piece, do you then think of other forms as better than one or the other, like poetry or short fiction or essay? Like, does one seem to be more geared towards humor for you guys in your writing process?
I would say essay is probably more geared towards humor. I think a poem can be fun, but just the format doesn't lend itself to comedy as much as just being able to write out, you know, an essay.
Yeah, I haven't really tried writing short fiction or essays a whole lot, so I only...
Miller's like, I completely disagree with you.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
Poetry's easier.
Yeah. That's funny. Do you think that's because you feel that way, that the genre of poetry is, like, suited for comedy, or that it's just, like, your wheelhouse, maybe?
It's kind of just more what I'm comfortable with.
Okay.
Yeah.
What you're comfortable with. So, and Sarah, because you write a lot of poetry, too.
Right.
You know, but, so why does essay feel like the natural shift?
I think when I'm writing poems, I tend to be, like, more descriptive, and I'm more describing of, like, a feeling, than when I'm writing essays, I'm, like, I feel like I have more room to make jokes and stuff.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, because it's hard to even find, like, a short story collection that's fiction and humor.
Yeah.
You know, usually when you find humor books, they are essays usually, or Britain has a really big comedy poetry scene, but, you know, it's not huge. It's not really known for that as far as genre goes.
Yeah.
What do you guys tend to focus on? I mean, it seems like you guys go through the thing in real life, whatever that is, and then you write about it and then decide that it's humor and then focus on it. I mean, once you decide that a piece is humorous or you're going to write comedy, it doesn't seem like you're preemptively saying, I'm going to write a comedy piece now. And then you go write comedy. It seems like something happens, you process it. It ends up being comedy. But then do you guys have any editing process after that? Like, once you've decided, like, oh, this is going to be humorous and I can add this thing and this thing and this thing to make it funny? What do you guys?
Most of my ideas, like, immediately are either going to be serious or they're going to be humorous. Sometimes I will put humor inside a serious poem and it just clashes. So I'll often have to edit that out or create another version of it that's just a completely different tone. But most of the ideas that I come up with, I immediately know which path I'm going to go down.
Okay. Sarah, for you, what about for you?
I think I'll have something and I'll write it down and then I go back. And if something, like if I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, that's actually funny, then I'll keep it. Plus, I do a lot of like deleting and going back and deleting.
Gotcha.
And
editing
so,
it, like building up the joke more.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, it was really hard for me to sit here in silence recording you guys with both of your pieces because they're really funny. So,
and that's what I was saying earlier is I've never had to just sit silently while someone's read a poem.
Right.
Usually it's the opposite where like I have to make myself laugh sometimes. But I mean, this one,
it's like sitting
kept,
in church.
Yeah. I just kept looking at Josh.
Yeah.
Like, crackling up silently.
That's funny. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on the podcast and sharing your stuff. And I'm sure everyone else will enjoy the pieces. Hopefully we'll be able to have you guys back over again, do part two or something.
Yeah, I love
that would
being
be fun,
here.
Fun, yeah.
Cool. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem.
Okay, well, that's the end of our second episode here today at the Odd Coyote. A little bit different with having people read their own pieces and then also the conversation piece. So hopefully you like that. That is something that we're going to try to keep doing if writers are able to come over and record their own pieces, and then you can hear a little bit of insight. So tell us what you think on our Twitter or at our Gmail. If you have pieces to submit, send those in. Once again, that's the oddcoyotepodcast@gmail.com, and we're on Twitter at oddcoyotepodcast. So hit us up, let us know, follow us, share, keep downloading, listening. Like I said, we'll have a new episode out next week with Evan Renfro and Emily Tucker. Look forward to that and keep listening. Thank you.